Tonight I want to talk about great favor on David's throne. God's been dealing with us about, he's been showing us how we're supposed to react as a Zion church, as a Davidic church. Now he's teaching us during this revival. Now if you don't learn, then you're not going to be able to be used. You're just not going to be able to be used. Because I think he's been very adequate with his teachings and very adamant of how he's given it. And it's up to us now to take that word and use it, apply it to our everyday life. Father God, I thank you for this word. I thank you for the people who came out tonight to sit in your presence. I thank you, Father God, that your anointing is already on the word. And I thank you that your angelic host are already walking to and fro throughout this building. And I'm asking you right now, Father God, to just settle down upon us tonight. Change us, rearrange us, Father God. Just go into the inside and work out, Father. Make us brand new creations in Christ. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you all know that President Trump was at Dover Air Force Base today? Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Came here because of the young man that got killed, the Navy SEAL that got killed. So it was, I thought that was wonderful that he did that. His little helicopters went right over my back porch. I thought, boy, they're awful low. And here it was, lo and behold, it was a president flying over my property. And everybody else's too, of course, but All right, let's talk about God's great favor on David's throne. Zechariah 12:10. And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. Now, I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. There is great favor upon David's throne. There is favor with God and man. Psalm 41:11 says, now remember, there is great favor upon David's throne. And that's where we're seated, right? And there is favor with God and man. In other words, you have favor with God and man. All right. Psalm 41:11. By this I know that you are well pleased with me because my enemy does not triumph over me. Start watching what's going on. Is your enemy triumphing over you? All right. By this I know, David said, by this I know that you are well pleased with me because my enemy does not triumph over me. This is a psalm of David. David knew God's favor. Favor protected him from his enemies. All right. Psalm 30, verse 7 says, Lord, by your favor you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face, and I was troubled. This is also a psalm of David. The Revised Standard Version says, by thy favor, O Lord, thou hast established me as a strong mountain. And this is what God has been doing with this church. He's been trying to establish us. Now, let me rephrase. He's not been trying. He has been establishing us as a strong mountain. A mountain that will not be able to be moved no matter what comes its way. We are a body of Christ that has our feet rooted and grounded in Christ. And it doesn't matter how hard the winds blow. It doesn't matter what kind of a shenanigan Satan's doing. He cannot take us off course ever again. We are in that dispensation. God is very adamant with me about that. He said, your enemies are my footstool. And the enemy cannot no longer take you off course. Are you understanding that? So if he comes, just say, not at my door. You're finished because God said so. David knew it was the favor of God that established him. See, you have to know that it's the favor of God that establishes you in your ministries, whatever it is, in your household, at your workplace, wherever. God's favor establishes us as a strong mountain. Favor is a symbol of strength. Favor is grace. We have an abundance of grace as we sit on David's throne. Hear this. We have an abundance of grace as we sit on David's throne. Psalm 30, verse 5 says, tells us, in his favor is life, We enjoy life when we sit on David's throne. I'm going to tell you, saints of God, if you're really sitting on the throne of David, if you're really sold out to God, you will see that he will give you grace upon grace upon grace upon grace and show you favor upon favor upon favor. I know I live it, and my husband can attribute to the fact that God does show me a lot of grace in every area of my life. And he also shows my family a lot of grace. Why? Because I'm his daughter. And these are my descendants, right? What he gives me, he gives on down to the generations. So why don't you live right, act right, do what's right, so that you'll be blessed first, and then it's going to flow down on to your generations. Luke 2:52 says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." Who did that? Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Favor is a key to success. Favor is special treatment. We can have favor with God and man. We can increase in favor. God has favored you. Begin to confess favor. Walk in favor. I'm standing here to tell you tonight that I've worked all my life, all right? But every job I've ever been at, I've never been qualified for. Never. But I'd fill out the application, turn it in, they'd call me and hire me. And I would say, I really have no qualifications. They says, okay, we want you here anyhow. And then I would just learn the job. What was it? That was favor from God, wasn't it? And in fact, some people said, you don't even have, at that point, I didn't have a college education. You can't work at the college unless you have some sort of degree. They said, why are you here? I said, I don't know. They hired me. That's why. And the one person that was, when I went to the college up here, the one person that sent on the meeting to hire me said, everybody else was so well qualified over, you had nothing. But yet we had to hire you for some reason. We just couldn't turn you down. That was favor from God. I got a job at the air base when I first landed here in Dover. And the guy said, my boss said, you don't even know how to use this machine. How did you get the job? I said, I don't know. I just come and apply for it. And I just got the job. So for 3 months, he did the machine that I was supposed to be working on until I learned how to use it. But we all, you know, they didn't care. We all had a good time. But, you know, that's favor from God, right? I learned a lot of different jobs just from favor from God. So don't tell me you can't get a job that you're not qualified for. Because if you have favor from God, you can get a job anywhere. Amen? So then I said, too bad, is he? So then I said, let's read Luke 2:52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Favor is a key to success. Favor is special treatment. We can have favor with God and man. We can increase in favor. God has favored you. I want you to all know God has favored you. Begin to confess favor. Say, God, I just walk in your favor. Then walk in favor. Amen. I have to say this too. When I went to college, I loved school anyhow, but I went to college, I had a terrible time in my math. So my boss was a math instructor. And I said, I'm failing math. It was algebra or some one of them things, trigonometry, something. And he says, no, you're not, because I'm going to be your personal tutor. So he tutored me all through college. And I passed all my math with A's. I think every now and then, you know, he told the other guys, just pass or just let her go. Because some of them were really hard, you know. But anyway, I got through math with a straight A. But that's favor. Amen. Favor opens doors. Favor releases finances. Favor is the root for the word favorite. See yourself as one of God's favorites. David was one of God's favorite kings. You tap into this favor through Jesus Christ. Then Acts 2:46 says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So continuing daily with one accord, there's your one accord thing, In the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. See that? And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. The early church had favor. This caused explosive church growth. Favor can cause your business to expand and grow. Proverbs 3:3-4. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Favor is increased in your life as you operate in mercy and truth. See that? Favor is increased in your life as you operate in mercy and truth. We must be operating in mercy and truth in here. Mercy is compassion. The Word of God is truth. Truth is also integrity and good faith. These attributes will release an abundance of favor in your life. We must be operating in mercy and truth. Mercy is compassion. The Word of God is truth. Truth is also integrity and good faith. See, we need integrity, guys. These attributes will release an abundance of favor in your life. Esther received favor from the king. If you know the story about Esther, this brought deliverance to the Jews. See, when you find favor with God and man, you help other people also. Favor is powerful. It can change the course of nations. God will give you favor as you take your place on the throne of David. Fame on David's throne, 1 Chronicles 14, chapter 14, verse 17. Then the fame of David went out into all the lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations. See, he had fame. You have fame on David's throne. 1 Samuel 18:7. So the women sang as they danced and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000. David was a famous king. His exploits brought him fame. He was famous in Israel for killing Goliath. Everyone knew who David was. His name spread to all the nations. See that? Faith comes with David's throne. Jesus had fame in Luke 4:14-15. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. Now, fame is not necessarily a bad thing. Don't be afraid of fame. God will make us famous. Fame means a reputation, especially for good. And to be famous means to be eminent, foremost, honored, exalted, leading, noteworthy, outstanding, distinguished, and excellent. That's what fame means. There are many references to the fame of Jesus. His miracles brought him fame. It was noised abroad that he was in the city. Wherever he went, people followed him. They followed him into the desert when he tried to withdraw. He had compassion on them and healed their sick. When people came to hear Jesus, they had an expectation because of his fame. When I go out on the road, people come to the church because of my name, and they're expecting something great to happen. And so we always have a lot of people come to those meetings. You know, when I was in Pennsylvania, the churches got packed out because my name was spread around through Pennsylvania, and there was an expectation of what God was going to do if they attended one of the meetings. And see, this is what's going to happen to you as you go forth. You know, if you're walking in everything we're talking about, then God's going to allow you to find favor among men and God, and then your fame is going to be spread abroad. When people came to hear Jesus, they had an expectation because of his fame. Many came believing and received miracles because of his fame. Fame creates an atmosphere for miracles. Fame creates an expectation in the hearts of the people. Fame gives you influence. We are called to influence our generation. Are you seeing this? Come on. Fame attracts. It attracts people and wealth. Well, I wish it would start doing attracting that wealth thing, don't you? Multitudes were attracted to Jesus because of his fame. They came from distant places to hear his preaching and teaching. They followed him into the wilderness. 1 Kings 4:29 says, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding, and largeness of heart like the sand on the seashore. Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men." Then Ethan the Ezraite, and wherever these people are, and his fame was in all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. That's a lot. Solomon was famous for his wisdom. Wisdom releases fame. Solomon sat on David's throne. The Queen of Sheba came because of his fame. Many will be drawn to us because of the fame that comes with David's throne. 1 Kings 10:1 says, "Now when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great," whatever that word is, "with camels that bore spices, very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. So Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing so difficult for the king that he could not explain it to her. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters, and their apparel, his cupbearers, and his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Then she said to the king, 'It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes, and indeed the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame of which I heard.'" This is what should be happening to us in here tonight. "Happy are your men, and happy are these your servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom." See, everybody was happy in his presence. "Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you, setting you on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord has loved Israel forever, therefore he made you king to do justice and righteousness." Then she gave the king 120 talents of gold, spices in great quantity, and precious stones. There never again came such abundance of spices as the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. He already had everything, and she just gave him more. This is how we should be walking, really. We should be walking in the abundance, not in lack. And that which we need to do that because we need to be sitting on the throne of David, and we need to have this fame and this favor that we're talking about tonight. 2 Chronicles 17. "So Jehoshaphat became increasingly powerful, and he built fortresses and storage cities in Judah." You can read about Jehoshaphat at home. 2 Chronicles 26:8. "Also the Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah. His fame spread as far as the entrance of Egypt, for he became exceedingly strong. Both Jehoshaphat and Uzziah waxed great upon David's throne." All right. Greatness is a part of David's throne. God will give us a name. That's why he said he doesn't like titles, because you don't need a title. If you're really doing, if you really have favor with God, you know, your fame will is all you need. You don't need a title. Psalm 18:35. "You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great." David knew about greatness. The Moffat version says, "Thine answers to prayer have raised me." 2 Samuel 5:10 says, "So David went on and became great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him." See that? If you would just follow God, if you would just lay down all your stupid agendas, if you would just sell out to him 100%, we can have everything that we're reading here tonight. Because first of all, we'll find favor in God's eyes, and he'll spread our fame abroad, and we won't lack anything. God has told me many times, "Daughter, you have found great favor in my eyes." Then he tells me why, and it's all because I've been obedient to what he's asked me to do, no matter how hard the chore. So, you know, guys, you have to start being obedient to what God's calling you forth to do. You cannot keep going your own way and expect to find favor in the eyes of the Father. There's wisdom and revelation on David's throne. Proverbs 4:7 tells us wisdom is the principal thing. James 1:5 tells us if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. You cannot rule without wisdom. You cannot rule without wisdom. A lack of wisdom will cause you to fail. A lack of wisdom will cause you to fail. Wisdom is a principal thing. This means it is a fundamental, basic, and primary thing. We have all the wisdom, we need in Christ. He is our wisdom. And that's been a problem in the body of Christ, too. There's no wisdom in the body of Christ. Everybody just does their thing. They don't seek God's face. They don't get wisdom. They just do their thing. Or an enemy is sent into your camp to kill, steal, and destroy. Instead of you seeking God's face for wisdom, you just act out in your flesh. And so, therefore you get all messed up. But if you seek God's face and use his wisdom, everything will turn out just fine. All right, in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. There is no lack of wisdom with God. There is wisdom and revelation on David's throne. David received the pattern to build the house of God by revelation. See, if you would just seek God's face, God would tell you exactly how to do things. You won't have to do the things on your own. He would tell you exactly how to do things. You know, before I got this together, I was sitting back there the other night, and I was thinking that when we first started here, you know, people come in, or they give us, somebody come in and give us all the money we needed to carpet the upstairs, just carpet it, and, you know, and give us a blank check. And then they said, somebody come and said, you know, carpet the sanctuary, give us a blank check. Here's a check, buy chairs. You know, we didn't lack for anything because we found favor in God's eyes and God supplied our need. All right? See, if your needs aren't being supplied, then somewhere along the line you've lost favor with God. You're not doing what God's called you to do. You're not doing what God's telling you to do, put it that way, and you haven't found favor. 1 Chronicles 28:11-19 says, the Spirit revealed this pattern to David. You can read that when you go home. It's 1 Chronicles 28:11-19. The Spirit revealed this pattern to David, how to build. We have access to the mysteries of the kingdom when we sit upon David's throne. We have access to the mysteries of the kingdom when we sit upon David's throne. The hidden things are revealed. All right? We needed this revelation to build the house of the Lord properly. We need access to God's patterns and blueprints. We are called to be wise master builders. So I said, we need access to God's patterns and blueprints. A lot of people come to me and say, well, you know, this is what I know God wants me to do. Well, unless God tells me that that's what he wants done, it's not going to be done in here. All right? Because I'm not going to do what you tell me to do unless God tells me to do it. Because we want to stay in the perfect will of the Father, and I want to make sure that I have his pattern and his blueprint, not yours. And I'm not saying you're wrong, but unless I hear from God, I'm not going to let it happen. All right? 1 Corinthians 3:10, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. See, God has laid the foundation for this church. Now I have to take heed how I build on it. I have to make sure I'm hearing God's voice in every area of this church. Then I have to do accordingly. 1 Kings 10:3. It's just like with the deliverance ministry. You know, I was talking to Brother Larry about you the other day, and I said, God told Brett and Nancy that he could tear down as well as build up. So they have a deliverance ministry, but it's not a sure thing. If they don't continue to do the things God's calling them forth to do, if they get into lethargy or anything, God can strip them of that thing because they're not the only one that can do deliverance. Are you understanding this? So a lot of people get you know, just because God, I said, first of all, he came in here messed up like you wouldn't believe, all right? And then God called them spiritual father and mothers. And then he had me to, you know, do the apostle and the reverend thing at one time. I forgot what the third thing is. And I said, he's never done that with anybody else. But now see, that puts quite a burden upon them to make sure that you walk holy before the Lord. And you have to be doing everything God's calling you to do, or you'll lose it all. That calling's not a sure thing. If you decide to go your own way and do your own thing, you're going to find yourself sitting out in the cold somewhere. All right? 1 Corinthians, First Kings 10:3. So Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing so difficult for the king that he could not explain it to her. So, because of that scripture, I said Solomon had access to wisdom and revelation. There was nothing hid from him. This is how we all should be walking. Nothing should be hid from any of us. We should be so close to God that he can tell us everything. There was nothing hid from him. Solomon was the wisest king to ever sit upon the throne of David, other than Jesus. His wisdom excelled all the wisdom of the wise men of this day. Amen. You watch and see what President Trump's going to do. He's going to excel in wisdom. We should excel in wisdom. See yourself operating in wisdom and revelation. Have you read the prophetic words? Well, not the prophetic words, but just the articles people write. When they went to Washington, the devils were fleeing from screaming and running away out of Washington. And then the angels were there like walls, you know, around the place. And they said it was absolutely awesome, all the spiritual things that were going on in Washington as President Trump was at his inauguration. And, you know, like Brother Larry said last night, he said, you know, it goes to show you who walks in the Spirit and who doesn't, because there's pastors out there coming against President Trump. And if they're really hearing the voice of God, they wouldn't be doing that. And I would be concerned about my ministry at this point if I was one of those. All right? So be careful what you get yourself involved in. Don't come against God's man of the hour. All right, we should excel in wisdom. See yourself operating in wisdom and revelation. Proverbs 8:15 says, by me kings reign, see that, and rulers decree justice. By me princesses rule, and nobles all the judges of the earth. We need God's wisdom to rule and reign on the throne of David. If you had all that wisdom, you wouldn't do some of the dumb things that you do. I'm serious. Now, if you were full of the wisdom of God, there's some things that you've done that you would not, and still things you are doing that you wouldn't do, because God's wisdom would tell you, no, that's not the way to go. How many of you had God just sort of slap your hand and say, don't go, don't do that, don't go there? See, because you lacked wisdom in that area, then God had to come and chastise you and tell you, no, you're not doing that right. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wonder why people walk around in the church without wisdom. They have no fear of God whatsoever. If you had fear of God, you wouldn't sit in the house of the Lord and sin. You just wouldn't. You don't fear God. That's why you do that. We need the fear of the Lord to reign on David's throne. Wisdom is the principal thing. We have access to all the wisdom and revelation we need through Jesus Christ. 2 Chronicles 26:5 says Uzziah had access to revelation as he sat upon the throne of David. Uzziah had access to revelation as he sat upon the throne of David. We must seek God for wisdom as we sit upon the throne of David. I have to seek God's wisdom every day, how to run a church, how to run a home. You know, a lot of things I have to, every day I have to seek God's wisdom about. I just don't exist. You know, we have to make choice. We have to make decisions in life, and you know, and a church is difficult to run because you have a lot of sheep that are unruly, and you know, and you have to have wisdom in God and how to interact with those sheep or what to do with those sheep. And it's a business. I asked God. I said, God, when He called me to do it, I said, I don't know how to run a church. He says, just like running a business, and I ran two businesses, so. You know, and people say, well, you don't run a. Then I've heard people say, well, you don't run a church like a business. Well, that's what God told me. You know, so I knew how to do that, so then I knew how to do this. You understanding this? We must seek God for wisdom as we stood set upon the throne of David. Zechariah had understanding in the visions of God during Uzziah's reign. This was a key to Uzziah's prosperity. Uzziah had divine insight through Zechariah. Zechariah instructed him in the things of God. Read that again. We must seek God for wisdom as we sat upon the throne of David. Zechariah had understanding in the visions of God during Uzziah's reign. This was a key to Uzziah's prosperity. Uzziah had divine insight through Zechariah. Zechariah instructed him in the things of God. Divine guidance on David's throne. We should have that. 1 Samuel 23:1. David received divine guidance concerning his battles and wars against his enemies. We have access to divine guidance as we sit upon the throne of David. We have that access through God, through Jesus, all right? An entire city was delivered by David. We can see cities delivered as we seek and obey the word of the Lord. We see great miracles and breakthroughs through the divine guidance. God guided David in every area of his life. Why? Because David feared him first. David loved him more than he loved anything else. And David was always obedient to God. All right, so he acted like a madman. He wasn't being disobedient to God. He was trying to save his life, right? So he committed adultery, but he only did it one time. He repented. He was sincere in his heart. You know, everything he ever did, he only did it one time. Are you listening here? But see, the people in the house of God, they do it over and over and over and over again, and they get mad because God's upset with them. You're not sitting on the throne of David if you do those type of things. All right, we see great. Is that where I'm at? All right, I said an entire city was delivered by David. We can see cities delivered as we seek and obey the word of the Lord. We see great miracles and breakthroughs through the divine guidance. We receive our instructions from heaven and march accordingly. The enemy is no match for us when we hear and follow the word of the Lord. You hear that? The enemy is no match for us when we hear and follow the word of the Lord. We need divine strategies as we sit on the throne of David. See yourself hearing God's voice on a consistent basis. See yourself hearing God's voice on a consistent basis. Have confidence that God will hear your prayers and give you supernatural guidance. God hears every prayer that you pray. If you don't believe that, keep praying the same prayer over and over again. And see how quickly he says to you, I already told you that. Don't ask me that again. Amen. I see some of you have been there too, right? All right, at home you can read 1 Chronicles 13:3. You can read 1 Chronicles 10:13 and 14. And then Romans at home. And then Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. If you're led by the Spirit of God, then you're not going to sin and do all the dumb things. And then therefore, then you are sons of God. David knew the importance of inquiring of the Lord. This is one of the greatest differences between him and Saul. Saul inquired of a witch and eventually lost his life. We must be led, and we know that David always inquired of the Lord. We must be led by the Spirit of God as we sit on David's throne. This is one of the keys to David's great success as a king. He was led by God in his decisions. He knew he needed supernatural direction. He depended upon God to give him directions. You know, I don't know how your life is, but I know that my life has a lot of complications in it because I have so many grown-ups around about me in my home. And so I have to have wisdom in how to deal with each and every one of them. Many people have come to me and said, you don't hear God's voice. You know, you should do this, you should do that, you should do the other. But I just turn a deaf ear because I know that I hear God's voice. I know what God is telling me to do. And I watch God walk that thing out. And when he always tells me what the end result is going to be when he first starts telling me how to do it. And then I watch it walk out and it turns out just exactly how he told me in the beginning. So don't come to me and tell me you're not hearing God's voice. Because sometimes I say, God, won't you change your mind a little bit here? You know, and now he's going to do it this way and no other way. Amen. So I know the importance. Dave knew the importance of inquiring of the Lord about every area of his life. Do you know that? You know, one time God told me not to. He told me in the morning service, I belonged to church. I loved the church. And he told me, he says, when you leave here, don't you come back to this church ever again. I want you out of here because there's sin in the pulpit. So I went home. I listened. But another couple came and they said, you're not going back to the church, are you? See, they heard God's voice too. I said, no. I said, God told me not to ever go back there again. They said, we're not going back either. I said, but God didn't tell you not to go back. He told me not to go back. I said, you have to go back. They said, no, if you don't go back, we're not going back either. Well, I didn't want to be accused of stealing somebody's sheep. I didn't have a church or anything, but I didn't want to be accused of pulling other people out of the church. So I went back. Wrong. That pastor crucified me that night. She said all manner of evil about me. It was terrible. And as I was sitting there crying because everything she's saying was false, God said, I told you never to come back through these doors again when you left here this morning. You disobeyed me, and this is the result. The people that I went back so they'd stay, they left anyhow, too, because they were upset at what she did. But still in all, see, I should have listened to what God said. I didn't tell those people to leave the church, and I shouldn't have cared what people said about me. I should have been just obedient to God and not going back. So what happened to me was my own fault. See, we have to realize sometimes what happens to us is our own fault out of disobedience. 1 Chronicles 14:9, then the Philistines went and made a raid on the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, see this, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? That was one question. And will you deliver them into my hand? Second question. And the Lord said to him, go up, for I will deliver them into your hand. So they went up to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. Then David said, God has broken through my enemies by my hand like a breakthrough of water. Therefore they called the name of that place Baal Perazim. Now, David received one of his greatest breakthroughs as a result of divine guidance. All right. The Taylor translation says, God used me to sweep away my enemies like water bursting through a dam. You know, that's what David said. We will also see great breakthroughs as we follow the leading of the Lord. We will sweep over our enemies just as David did. In 1 Chronicles 14:13, then the Philistines once again made a raid on the valley. Therefore David inquired again of God, and God said to him, you shall not go up after them. You shall not go up after them. Tell her to take him home. Circle around them and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. All right. And it shall be when you hear a sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall go out to battle, for God has gone out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines. So David did as God commanded him, and they drove back the army of the Philistines from Gibeon as far as Gezer. Then the fame of David went out into all lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations. Now this time, God gave David a different strategy than he did the first time. We cannot become accustomed to do things the same way all the time. That's the point I want to get across here. God's strategies change. God may give you a different direction. Don't get stuck in routine. Be open to hear the voice of the Lord. Amen. Now, one service, and Alan was standing there. As I went by him, God said, smack him in the stomach. So I didn't. And God spoke and said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. I said later, did that hurt? He said, you didn't hardly hit me at all. I thought I really punched him. But see, I thought, God, I wish you wouldn't do that to me. But, you know, instead of anointing him with oil nicely on his forehead, he said, sock him in the stomach. So God doesn't do things the same way all the time. That's what I'm getting at. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. That's Proverbs 3:5-6. You need to get in your spirit, write it on your mirror or something and get that down in your spirit. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. These are foundational verses to having success. We cannot lean to our own understanding. We must trust in the Lord for supernatural guidance. And you're always trying to get God to send somebody our way to help us. Maybe God doesn't want that. Maybe God wants to do something so much more profound, like a miracle. You know, but we're so in tune to getting people to help us that we just don't say to God, God, how do you want me to do this? You know, this is my man-made thing, but how do you want me to do this? This is the way you should always do it. How do you want me to do this, Father? 2 Chronicles 35 says, after all this, when Joaz had prepared the temple, Necho, king of, now listen to this one, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish by the Euphrates, and Joaz went out against him. But he sent messengers to him, saying, what have I to do with you, king of Judah? I have not come against you this day, but against the house with which I have war. For God commanded me to make haste, refrain from meddling with God. And he says, refrain from meddling with God, who is with me, lest he destroyed you. You know, this king was going to go out there and help him, but he said, don't do that. Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself so he might fight with him, and did not heed the words of Necho from the mouth of God. So he came to fight in the valley of Megiddo. And the archers shot King Josiah, and the king said to his servants, take me away, for I am severely wounded. His servants therefore took him out of that chariot, put him in the second chariot that he had, and they brought him to Jerusalem. So he died and was buried in one of the tombs of his fathers, and all Judea and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah. Sometimes the word of God comes through unsuspecting vessels. This king did not have to die. This other king told him, don't do this thing unless God comes against you. So then I said, sometimes the word of God comes through unsuspecting vessels. God might send somebody your way to tell you something. You have to listen to them if you know they're of God. Amen. Quit thinking that you're the only one that can hear what God, the instructions of the Father. If you are a true prophet of God, God will have already spoken to you. And if somebody comes, you would just confirm what you've already heard. Many times in here, I've told people, you know, you really shouldn't do that because that's going to get you in a whole lot of trouble. And I said, this is what God is showing me, but they don't care what God's showing me. So they go ahead and do the thing and they get in a whole lot of trouble. And they come back here crying, God didn't speak right to me. Yeah, God did speak right to you, but you chose not to, just like this king did, you chose not to listen and believe what God had to say. We must be sensitive to hear the voice of God no matter how it comes. Josiah lost his life because he did not recognize the voice of God through Necho, king of Egypt. One of Israel's greatest kings fell unnecessarily in battle. He did not have to die that way. We must be directed by God before making major decisions. Don't rush into things. Learn to seek and hear the voice of God. And many people write me and they say, you know, this is, what do you think God's saying about this? And I'll say, well, I'll meditate on that. But what I do is I read what you have to say. And I say, now, God, they want me to get an answer for them. And so when you're ready to answer me, you do that. And I'll just wait for God to answer. Now, did you read my email? Yes, I read your email, but God hasn't answered your email yet, you know. I'm not going to tell you to do something. I'm not going to be the one to tell you to do something. Then when you fail, you say, she told me so. No, I only tell you what I hear God say. Nothing more, nothing less. Where am I at? 1 Kings 3:5. Dreams and visions on David's throne, 1 Kings 3:5 and 15. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask, what shall I give you? Then Solomon awoke, and indeed it had been a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, offered up burnt offerings, offered peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants. Now, Gibeon had a vision, all right? Now let's look at Joel 2:28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Now, this is happening right now in this dispensation. Dreams and visions are a part of David's throne. The Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream when he came to David's throne. He received the impartation of wisdom through a dream. Dreams are powerful. Solomon was a different man when he awoke from the dream. We should expect dreams and visions, as we said, on the throne of David. We have access to this realm through David's throne. We can receive direction through dreams. We can be warned through dreams. We can receive revelation through dreams. We can receive impartation through dreams. Right? 2 Chronicles 26:5 tells us, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. Zechariah had understanding of the visions of God. Uzziah prospered through visions. Zechariah was the interpreter of visions during his reign. God speaks to his leaders through dreams and visions. Now, I'm going to stop there because I believe with all my heart that Reverend Christopher Lynch is anointed to do interpretations of dreams and visions. And I really believe that, because when anybody has a dream or a vision, he'll stand, as you tell him, he'll stand right there and tell you what it means. He doesn't go look up the book. God just supernaturally gives him the interpretation of those dreams or visions. So, Chris, this is what one of your things are with God. And that's a great thing, to be an interpreter of dreams and visions. This is a supernatural means of communication. God deals with kings in dreams and visions. God gave Pharaoh a dream. He spoke to Nebuchadnezzar in a dream. Joseph and Daniel were the interpreters of these dreams. We need the correct interpretations of the dreams and visions we receive. God will give us understanding in this realm. So if you have a dream or vision, there's Reverend Christopher Lynch, and he can give you the interpretation. He can. He really can. 2 Chronicles 32:32, Isaiah was a visionary during the reign of Hezekiah. He had the vision of the Lord after the death of Uzziah. He was commissioned and sent through a vision. See this? Visions reveal and release the purposes of God. We need to be visionaries. Visionaries are those who see visions. You know, I often sit and think about, I sometimes weep because so many people have passed through these doors and they were so anointed of God. But because they had people who didn't like me, they knew people who didn't like me, they would turn them against me. Then finally the people would leave. There went their gifting. And they're just sitting in churches, dying. Their giftings are dead. Why? Just because somebody didn't like me. And if I see anybody have a gifting, we encourage and we encourage and we encourage you to walk out your giftings. And don't waste them. So, you know, you people in here, if you want to believe somebody else's lie about me, go ahead. You know, when the pastors used to come to me and tell me I was doing something wrong, I'd look at them square in the eye and say, have you prayed? And I said, don't come back to me again until you prayed. And I'm not going to answer your question. Because if you prayed, you wouldn't be standing here before me. Are you listening to this? I pray before I do anything. Whatever decisions I make, I pray and I get God's face about it. Begin to see yourself as a visionary. See yourself as a visionary in your night, you guys. You're just not a lump of clay sitting in a chair. You know, you're sitting on the throne of David, and you're God's vessel of honor and glory that he wants to use. All right, begin to see yourself as a visionary. You see into the future. You have insight into the plans and purposes of God. Proverbs 29:18 tells us, where there is no vision, the people perish. One time I went down to Florida to Bill Hammond's church and, you know, went in there and they gave, you know, the prophecy over me and they said, we see you in a white vehicle and you're stuck in the mud. And they said, but all of a sudden your vehicle, you get out of the mud and your vehicle takes off. Then they said, now the white vehicle is your ministry. And at some point your ministry is going to get stuck, which it did. But they said God was going to come and get that white vehicle out of the mud, and then everything was going to be just great. So see, they had a vision as they were giving me a prophetic word, and that helped me whenever our ministry got stuck. Amen. All right, Proverbs 29:18 tells us, where there is no vision, the people perish. We need vision. Number one, people run wild without vision. Number two, visions provide restraint for our lives. Number three, they cause us to be focused and disciplined. Number four, they release purpose and destiny. Number five, be open to visions. Be open to visions. Second Chronicles, you know, when I said that the visions cause you to be focused and disciplined, and by that I meant, you know, when something, you know, when God's asked you to do something really hard and everything seems to be going amok, you know, God has already given you God's already given you a vision. He's already told you how it's going to turn out. So you have to be focused and disciplined so that you can carry that vision through and don't stop in the middle of it. All right. You know, my vision of my children is that they're all messed up. All right. But it's them Bible in one hand, the other hand up near praising the Lord, sitting in the house of God, praising him. And no matter what I see, and I see a bunch, I know that I know that I know that one day they're all going to be sitting in the house of God like they used to be before they went wild, and they'll be praising and worshiping the Father. I don't care what people say about my kids. I know what God has said about them, and that's what I hold before the Father. 2 Chronicles 12:1 says, "Now it came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, that he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel along with him." Rehoboam had strengthened himself. He forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel along with him. This is the day of the restoration of apostolic and prophetic ministry. With the restoration of the apostolic ministry, we are seeing a restoration of the understanding of dreams and visions. God is restoring his house. God has been torn down over the years. The church has become a mess, but he's restoring all that. And in that process, he's restoring dreams and visions. And those are the things that's going to see you through the years that lie ahead of you. There is absolutely nothing hid from us as we sit upon the throne of David. God hides absolutely nothing. He hides nothing from me. He doesn't care if it's going to hurt me or not. Because really anything, I need to know everything that's going on around about me and in my life, in my husband's life, in my children's life, in the church. I need to know it so I can carry out his plans and his purpose. There, he hides absolutely nothing from me. He'll even say, "Daughter, this is going to hurt you so much, but I'm going to tell you this is what's going to happen. But I'm also going to tell you I'm going to be with you, and I'll walk through it with you." This is really going to hurt you. He says it's going to devastate you, but you have to know, and I will be with you. So allow God to share with you what's going on in your life. And allow him to be able to be open with you and say, "This is going to hurt you. It's going to devastate you. In fact, it's going to just about take your wind clear out of you. But know that I'll be with you as you walk it out." Allow him to have that privilege in your life. And then you're going to really have great success in your walk with God. And favor will abound on all sides. And you won't have to be ashamed to walk up to nobody or go any place, because you'll know that you know that you know that God has spoken to you, and you're carrying out God's plans and his purposes for my life, for the people around me, for the church. It doesn't matter what man or woman has to say. It matters what God has to say. Amen. And what God told me tonight, what he wants to do with you people, is to give you an anointing to receive great favor. He wants each one of you to receive great favor from him tonight, a special anointing. So if you want that anointing to receive great favor, please come on up to the altar. Always remember that God is on the throne. So if you're sitting on the throne of David, then you're sitting there with God, right? Great favor. An anointing for great favor.